Now,
okay, well, I'll ask you questions on the air instead of now. Very close to just asking things. And blowing it, man.
Yeah, don't blow it.
All right, won't blow it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Hi, I'm Ian Boothby.
And today we're actually joined by someone. You know what? I really don't know much about you, Gavin. We have Gavin Pitts on the show. He's a Facebook friend. He's from Australia.
Hello.
I know that you are a forensic entomologist?
Yep.
Entomologist, which I think means that if an insect dies, you go and do the autopsy.
Essentially,
to figure out what happened.
And says, this was murder.
This was murder. He turned into Quincy. It becomes an episode of, well, you probably don't see. I made an obscure reference to an American show that probably went right over Gavin's head. I've already started with disastrously.
We did get Quincy in the wee hours of,
oh, okay,
of,
there
the,
we go.
Of the morning.
I don't,
yes.
Don't feel so bad.
It went over the head of all of our listeners that are like under 50, though, because that's that is a bit of an old reference with Quincy. It's a Jack Klugman reference.
Yeah.
It's an old reference.
That's...
Dave, let's not fight in front of company. Our guest is the second guest we've ever had from Perth.
Yeah. That's
now, right. Where is Perth located in Australia?
Far away from everything else. it's like everything else is on the east coast. We're way on the other side. So like
okay.
Sydney and Melbourne are where everybody goes. We're all the way over the other side, about six deserts and several plains.
Six deserts over. You yeah. can't miss it. Now, I'm going there late next year because former guest of the show, Shane McCarthy, is having a wedding.
Okay.
His own.
Yes.
He's not just randomly having
He's
weddings
not just,
for people.
Yeah.
I pity you.
He's and holding so, a wedding.
What, Shane? With the idea of getting married?
The idea of going to Perth.
Oh, I understand. So so when I'm in Perth, what should I do? What should, if I'm there for like a week and a bit? Okay, escape from Perth. I'll have a return ticket, so that's probably going to happen.
Yeah, no, the problem is that, well, it's got some nice wildlife, if you don't mind it going for your throat every now and then.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that's what, when I got off the plane, I was immediately astonished to have plants and animals that weren't actively trying to murder me.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got lots
It's a feature of British Columbia that none of the plants will kill you.
It's just maimings. That's what we have on our license plate. Just maimings.
That's right.
Now,
well, it's consensual here.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
We do have bears.
Yes, yeah. I've heard that there are bears. I haven't seen one yet. But,
okay. Walk around with some bologna in your pockets through the woods, and yeah, that you might meet a bear.
Yeah, I was delighted to actually see that the woods were very Friday the 13th-y, especially on Halloween. I was waiting for Jason to pop out, but no one was having premarital sex around there, so I suppose he wouldn't have come.
Now, how does Jason know it's premarital? Does he check for a ring before
I'm
he starts
sure he
killing?
I'm sure he has an app for it. You know?
Yeah. And they go, we're common law. All right, moving on.
He's just making a lot of judgments.
Well, you mentioned Friday the 13th. Of course, as you know, we did shoot a Friday the 13th. Dave and I shot one.
Yes, that's right.
We shot our own version. No, there was actually a Friday the 13th that filmed here, which
yes,
was
Jason Takes, quote, Manhattan.
That's
unquote,
right.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the same Manhattan that you see in Rumble in the Bronx,
yes.
which is the New York with a lovely mountain range
yes.
and very few buildings.
Just I did geek out when I first took the SkyTrain, and I was like, oh, Jason took this train.
Yeah.
So that was
sort
cool.
of.
Now, he didn't kill anybody on the train, though, right?
He sent someone flying. So
that's right.
Yeah, he knocked them, and they went about 60 feet because of all the slime on them.
Well, now, let me just do... I haven't had time to complain about Jason Takes Manhattan in my life, so I'm going to take the opportunity right now. Now, when you call your movie Jason Takes Manhattan, get him to Manhattan a bit earlier.
Yeah, yeah. It was basically Jason Takes the Love Boat for the
first
80 minutes.
he took like a ferry
okay.
for a long time with a bunch of, jerks, some of which I actually knew. These
okay.
were local actors,
sure.
so it was weird. It's the first time I've ever seen local actors being killed.
Yeah.
And some of them, I might have some issues with. I'm like, oh, well, I'm working through issues while watching this.
yeah.
But the best character on there was the old man on the boat who just, as they went on, he went, you're doomed! Yeah. All of you are doomed!
Yeah, they always have to have one of those guys.
Yeah.
yeah. It makes for an awkward rest of the ride because now you got to make small talk the rest of the time.
When he's there.
Yeah.
yeah.
So... just graduated high school, huh? That's nice. I had dreams. It's going to be a dancer. Anyway, here comes Jason. But yeah, way late in the movie, Jason shows up. And the best scene in the movie is him showing up in Manhattan. And of course, a gang of toughs is there.
Oh, okay.
And he just flashes his face to them.
Yeah, he takes the mask
off.
And you don't see it. He just gives a little, eh? huh? And they all, whoa! And he's like, yeah, pretty badass. Puts the mask down, keeps walking.
That's also the movie I found out that every night at midnight, New York flushes toxic and environmental waste through the sewer system.
Yep.
Well-known fact.
Well, where else do you get your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from every 5 years?
Or your Chuds.
Yeah, I would have thought that the Chuds would have complained about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, apparently.
They have a terrible lobby.
Not to mention the giant alligator down there as well.
They're really politically inactive, those guys.
And yeah, that was a weird scene in that Jason doesn't normally just give a little, eh? How you doing? Jason, new in town. Catch you later. All right.
My card?
Yeah. And the tough part was when they were actually shooting here, because it's Canada, there's so many hockey masks, he just blended in. You just didn't know where to aim the damn camera.
Yes, because we're always wearing goalie masks walking around. I like that it's such an old-fashioned goalie mask, too.
They did a sequence where he has a kind of a riff on that, where he's at a hockey rink, and there's a big hockey mask, and he's like, huh? He looks up at it, and then he looks down, and he's like,
I guess it's supposed to be Madison Square Gardens? Is that it?
I think so. But, you know, you can't really emote through a hockey mask, but I assume he was shrugging in some fashion.
Yeah, he does more shtick in this one, I think, than in any other Jason movie. Like, almost a shrug and a, what are you going to do? I guess I'm going to have to kill them all. It's my job. Slashy, slash, slash. Yeah.
I think you'll notice from my silence, I have not seen this film. In fact, to be honest with you, I have not seen any Friday the 13th.
Oh, bless
even
me.
The original.
Since Friday the 13th.
Oh, okay. Mm.
I saw Friday the 13th. I saw it at a party with a lot of other people. So to say I saw it would be to be more I glimpsed Friday the 13th.
Well, let me ask you this question, Dave. Here's the trivia.
What?
You cannot answer this, Gavin, for you
okay.
know it.
Okay.
Who is the killer in Friday the 13th?
The mum.
There you go. Yep. Mum's the word. Absolutely.
No, I've always been more into the Elm Street films, but I do like the Friday the 13th because they're like chewing gum for the mind. You can just switch off and watch people get killed horribly after having sex or with sporting equipment. So
they have sex with sporting equipment. Well, they deserve to die. Was that sporting equipment asking for that? Did that lacrosse racket really want? Is it called a lacrosse racket? I have no idea.
According to Teen Wolf, it is, yeah.
Is it? They call it a racket on Teen Wolf?
It is our national sport.
I don't think they know what they're talking about in Teen Wolf. I
now,
really take
now
their
that is a good thing to bring up. I know. We're just going to go right into it. There's no warm-up here. You two are the only fellas I know who enjoy Teen Wolf.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, this is, honestly, there's never been a situation where I've ran into another gentleman and he has just brought up Teen Wolf.
I don't randomly bring up Teen Wolf.
I do.
Yeah. Everybody, could you please look back on our show? See, because let me tell you,
yeah.
I don't bring up Teen Wolf.
Okay.
And we've talked about Teen Wolf at least 20 times. So I'm thinking you do bring
sure,
up Teen
whatever,
Wolf.
Whatever.
Now, Gavin, you have, I believe, Teen Wolf as your avatar on the Facebook?
Yes, indeed.
All right. So, gentlemen, Teen Wolf talk begins well, now.
We did talk a little bit about this with Kathleen Gross when she was on the show. So I feel like I don't want to tread on her territory of Teen Wolf outrage. I think we could all agree that the first season was the best season.
First and second seasons are the best. It's just not the same without my reason for existing being on the show, Colton Haynes. He switched over to the Arrow now.
Yeah.
It's still a watchable show, but it's really backed down on the homoeroticism, which
yes.
is
well.
Has Arrow cranked up the homoeroticism?
Actually, it has. Yeah. Arrow seems to be going for the market that Teen Wolf is backing away from very rapidly after having, you know, two seasons.
Is it homoeroticism or is it just eroticism for whoever likes guys with abs?
It's
because it's kind of a you could call it tweener eroticism.
Yeah,
it's
kind of. I think it knows its audience. I think it knows that a lot of gay guys are watching as well as the teen girls.
Okay, yeah.
So certainly Teen Wolf was way homoerotic.
Yeah, because when you were visiting us, I think my youngest daughter, Phyllis, expressed some outrage over the lack of shower sequences in the more modern or the newer Teen Wolf. The other problem with the show, there's a few problems with it. One is it seems that they changed where it was shot, where it was filmed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which often can ruin a show like X-Files, you know, moving from here down to L.A., it can change the tone of the show in a way that
it's true. Yeah,
and so what before was filmed, and also it seemed like the budget was increased from at least $5 to maybe $50,000 a show. I don't want to go out there and claim more than it, but it seems like the budget went up.
Yeah,
lacrosse went out the door. Shower sequences, goodbye.
Now, quick question. I do not watch the show. I only know it from your avatar and from our many conversations. Now, when you change into when a teen turns into a Teen Wolf, goes to that special time of life, gets hair in different places, different feelings.
Sure.
Is it a painful American Werewolf in London? Oh, my back, my spine, ow, it all breaks, my bones, being human style agony, werewolf trans, or is it a good timey, Oh, that's pretty good. Michael J. Fox, Jason Bateman type of transformation.
It seems to be, well, it depends whether you're a good wolf or a bad wolf, it seems.
Yeah, it does.
It only takes a fraction of a second now, thanks to the miracle of morphing. but yeah, it seems to be pretty much a super rush of a feeling, rather than something that's horrible, like in American Werewolf or Hemlock Grove, which is another werewolf one where it's actually agonizing.
Yeah, everyone went with a painful werewolf thing for a while there. Now, when you turn from werewolf...
it is a curse.
When you turn from werewolf to teenager,
yeah.
Are you exhausted? Are you logy?
It doesn't seem to be. It doesn't seem to affect them
They don't
anyway.
Seem to lose time. They don't seem to wake up in strange zoo cages.
They remember what they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Do you have... Is it like Michael J. Fox and you can play the whole basketball game and everyone cheers and is cool with it? Or is it people fear the werewolf in this Teen Wolf universe?
I don't think they've been really exposed as werewolves. It's kept hidden.
It's one of those weird towns that seems to keep its eyes on its feet at all times and has no idea that they're in a supernatural area. Like Sunnydale, you know, it's like... Vampire Central, and they're all just going, oh, yes, here we are in Sunnydale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Lost Boys, yeah.
Yep.
But it's also one of those weird towns where, from the get-go, you're not sure how big the town is.
Mm.
Like, when it first started, I pictured it as a very small town. I mean, it has a sheriff. It's a town with a sheriff. But then it turns out it's a town with like, a gay nightclub.
Yeah.
Then you're like, well, what kind of small town has a gay? That seems kind of odd. Like, what? And then they show
the gay nightclub full of sheriffs. People dressed as sheriffs.
It's all the people who failed the Village People auditions for the policeman role. Yeah. That's the entire.
How do you earn your star? Population. You do not want to know.
You don't. And
by the way, what's the gay club called in Teen Wolf World?
No,
it's got to be called something clever, right? What is it?
I can't remember.
Because there's no way those clubs in those shows are not called something very clever.
Is that true?
Was
the club in Buffy that clever a name, really?
The Bronze.
Well, the Bronze, but that's not a gay club. Like,
no.
If you're going to have...
It'd be like something like Full Moon or something
like that. Yeah, it's got to be something like that. Yeah, I 100% believe it's going to be that. Okay, go ahead.
And then it turns out it has like a giant industrial area. And you're kind of like, well, how big is this town that has a sheriff, and yet has a huge industrial area?
Yeah, it does seem to have a very good high architectural turnover rate. It's like every week there's another suburb attached.
But then you never seem to be anywhere either. Like they don't seem to, like a show like say Grimm. You have a sense of what's in Portland if you watch that show. Like you know, you kind of know where things are when you know. But that show, you have no idea where anything is.
On Grimm, do they go for donuts ever? Do they ever like just stop and have a voodoo donut?
That'd be kind of. I think because they want to steer away from like making fun of policemen having donuts because the guy's a police.
Oh, he's a police officer.
Yeah, he's a police officer.
Is he a police officer and a Grimm?
Yes.
Okay.
He was a police officer, then he became a Grimm.
Okay. Now, are there other people?
Do you know this show, Grimm?
No, I've seen one episode.
There's not a lot of showering on it, so Gavin's not that familiar with it.
But it's still a lot of furry fellows, right? There's a wolf, right?
There's sort of a wolf.
A guy's a big bad wolf, right? Isn't that the deal?
Kind of.
Well, what's the deal?
I don't know. It's because it's weird.
What do you mean you don't know? You watch it all the time. You watch like seasons.
Well, he's a wolf, but they don't call him that. They call him like a Bloodblad or some kind of weird name. I don't
they
know.
They call him the Bloodblad Wolf?
Yeah, that's right.
To avoid copyright?
Copyright issues.
Yeah, okay, that's good. And he goes after the fee little figs. Yeah, we're not. Hey, Disney, try and sue us. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's one of those where it's obviously a thing, but they call it another thing because they're clever. It's like IKEA furniture.
Well, no, the show wants to have like the sense of at being rooted in Europe.
Ah.
And so the characters, there's a lot of German names for things.
So German monsters escaped and came to America? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I think you're...
No, I don't know really what the premise is.
Oh, well, no, I just think that they're around the whole world. But I think the central kind of idea is Grimm, like the Brothers Grimm, right?
Yeah.
So you're associating it with...
So lots of gingerbread houses everywhere.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, the very first episode had this element of a house in the woods and... You know, the victim, the child taken there and stuff like that.
And he saves them from witch?
He saves them
from a britch?
I think it was not a... I don't think it was a witch. I think it was a
Lance
it was
Lenevil.
A guy.
Okay.
It was a guy who... there's so many different creatures. It's like every episode there's a different creature.
Well, when you're saying the Teen Wolf thing, what that sounds to me like, and I wish, is the idea that, you know, hey, why is there, now we got this construction yard, and why do we have this skyscraper? And like every week something new is built, and finally they realize this town's growing, and we don't know why. And new people are showing up that we've never met, and so, yeah, they got to deal with that.
The werewolves just annex a different town every week.
That's right. Well, not even that it's growing, it should just be like new sections of town are appearing. They don't even know that it's being built. It's just, you're just walking down here suddenly, like, where did this posh neighborhood come from?
Mm. Admittedly, they mansions? Did do that in Buffy as well. It's like all of a sudden when they became college age, there was a Sunnydale University.
Yeah.
That we'd never seen before or anyone or had talked about
yeah,
before.
Yeah. Mm. That's true.
But only one fast food restaurant in town.
Sunnydale, you had an odd view of how big that town was as well. Like the mayor does a speech at the high school.
Yeah.
Like, how often does that happen? That
admittedly,
like,
most of the town was graveyards because everyone dies. In
yeah,
died like pretty fast.
A to K, and you know, J yeah. to Z.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mayor would do a speech because he's evil mayor, and he's trying to. He had a reason, right? He wasn't doing that out of the goodness of his heart.
Yeah, but it just seems weird then, like. I don't know. It just seems weird. Like, why not just go to a political rally and consume, you know?
I assume he had a taste for, you know, young teenage flesh after he eats as many children.
If you have a political rally, you're just going to get the elderly, and they're all stringy in your teeth. They're the only ones who vote. You're not going to get a bunch of young, you know, young people
well,
out there.
As much as I love Buffy, it was annoying that the only major casualty of the mayor's ascension was the gay character at the time. I was like, oh, good.
Who was the gay character?
Larry.
At the time?
Larry, the gay character. He was actually came out during the werewolf episode.
They mistook
him for the werewolf because he was saying he's going through all these personal issues and changes and things. It turns out he was wrestling with his sexuality, and Oz was the werewolf. And then Xander, of course, was going to be the gay character then before Seth Green left, and so he was getting all mixed up with all these things in the gay character as well. Thought he was gay, and some comedy ensued.
Okay, and then Andrew later was gay, or at least that was just...
They never actually said it explicitly, but yeah, he was obviously supposed to be
and
gay
it
character.
Felt like Xander had a little something with Dracula going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that's... And Willow was gay.
Hmm.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So is that it for Buffy?
I think so.
Well, Angel. Anyone on Angel gay?
Angel was very homoerotic. It was banned in Singapore for the first three seasons because of the homoeroticism.
Wait. What was so homoerotic about Angel? A lot of the stakes through the bits.
Well, Doyle and Angel were a bit too close for comfort in some parts, apparently.
Really?
Doyle admitted to being attracted to Angel twice, I think. And then Lindsay, the lawyer, the evil lawyer who was kind of redeemed, and then they screwed it up in the final episode, they admitted that he was going after Angel so much because he was in love with him.
Okay.
Dala.
That wasn't very explicit, though.
Well, Dala says, you know, it's not me you want to screw, it's him. And he's like, oh, yeah, so it is, I guess, you know, kind of thing. So that was
okay.
Then, of course, it all went to hell in the final few episodes of Angel, and I was like, damn it.
You thought it went to hell? I didn't. I
quite literally,
how
it went to hell.
Yeah, that is how it ends. Mm.
It does. But I kind of like the ending for Angel. Mm. I thought they had a...
But you like the tiger and the lady story. If I take you back to our second episode of this show.
That's right. The second episode.
You know, you like that kind of ending of what's going to happen?
I do.
I don't mind a grim ending.
I don't even know that's a grim ending. They could make it. They might not make it. Who knows?
Well, there's like 6 million undead things coming towards them and a dragon. I mean, if you count the comics as canon, which I don't because they're comics. rather than the TV
disagree, sir. Disagree.
No, I do.
The right honorable member speaking out of turn, sir.
Well, I would count them as canon, but Joss Whedon's involvement was initially at least minimal, so I don't really.
He wrote a couple, and then now he's executive producer.
Yeah, but the Angel comics were better than the Buffy ones. The Buffy ones eventually had like Dawn turning into a centaur and a mech. And a giant.
She's dating Xander,
yeah,
and then she's not dating Xander.
Yeah, it just became silly. And Spike in a spaceship piloted by insects, and I was like, oh, God.
Well, let me tell you what they say about that. And I'm really not super following it right now. But what the general feeling is, they went a little too far with that. Basically, they went, we've got a comic book. Why should we be restricted to what we're doing on TV? So, yeah, you can have a giant Dawn and the centaur and spaceships. And then the next season, they kind of went, let's all just bring this back down to earth again because we've lost what Buffy is.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people like it more, some people like it less.
Some people like it hot.
They do. Yeah. Do you know what actually is a pretty good comic, though, is the Faith and Angel one is a pretty good one.
Okay.
And they also have Giles on there was killed, and then he was reincarnated as a young... He's now like a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So he's always getting like horny around things, and he's very upset.
I will take your word for it that it's good.
Thank you very much.
You have just described, not in any way sound good.
All right.
But okay, I'll take your word for it. But I do like the kind of, yeah, what's next ending. That's my favorite ending.
Well, because it makes your imagination go.
It can be good, but if it's done well, like in John Carpenter's The Thing,
yeah,
it can be really good.
That's great.
Australian movies that do that tend to go for the downbeat ending all the time, which is I mean, one or two downbeat endings is okay, but every week it gets a bit. That's why I eventually got tired of Eon Flux, the shorts that were on liquid television, because she died every episode. I was like, okay, we get it.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't even know they were short. It's a movie, right? With
but it started
off on MTV's liquid television.
I see.
And then she got her own show where she spoke, and she actually didn't die every 5 minutes.
Well, it's like that's what I mean. The other day we were watching a sci-fi thing at our home. It was enjoying it, and then I went like, oh, I hope things work out for these guys. And my sister-in-law went, you know, it's a British sci-fi. Is there any British sci-fi that's ever had a happy ending? And I went, ah, fuck, you're right. And of course, it all goes to shit.
Did you say what show you were watching?
It was one where, oh boy, it was one where it's all these young people and they're being filmed, and it's for like a reality thing. And there's a lot of people on stationary bikes. It was okay. And then it was like, now when I realized it was going to be a bummer ending, it was just, ah, hell with it. You know, at least the Americans, for all the compromising and for the cheesy endings, sometimes you want a happy ending, guys.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want everyone to die. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you want the 28 days later. You know, there's a British one that actually does sort of almost have maybe a happy ending. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Cool. But there is an alternate ending where it all goes to hell.
I know. That's the thing. You know they had that in their pocket, you know, and that's the standard. But it's like, oh my God, it's a British film that actually has a semi-happy ending. And it's like so incredibly successful. Hey guys, guess why? Because we don't want to put a gun in our mouths when we're leaving.
Yeah. I did enjoy that film, although I thought the sequel was a bit silly.
The problem with the sequel, sorry, I'm going to go into that now, is it starts with a great premise, and then after they've dealt with that premise, you're kind of screwed, which is, you know, your kids think you're a hero, but you're not. Mm. And then the proof that you weren't a hero shows up, and that's more terrifying than any quote-unquote zombie that's not a zombie.
I had to suspend my disbelief on several major occasions with the sequel. It's like, okay, so we found someone who has the virus in them. And we're going to leave her in a room with no guards whatsoever, despite the fact that the city is guarded 24/7. Oh, and look, now the husband can get in, and she's bitten him. Oh, what a surprise. And then, of course, you have the kids at the end who have never handled a gun before and have perfect aim in a blackened subway tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, for all that, it was not a bad film. And it does have Jeremy Renner in a tiny little part, so that was good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Like, I think there was, like, a police officer trying to help and get set on fire. Yeah. That kind of bugs me in a movie like that, when there's someone who's, like, a helpful person trying to help, and then they get sucked in the volcano. That bugs me.
I don't mind that, because
that's
kind of real life. It's like, you know, in real life, if you're trying to be nice, usually you're the first one to get, you know, eaten by the monsters. And all.
I know it's true, but I hate when they have the gruesome death. Like, if that's going to be the case, then they get the quick death. And now, because then the asshole never gets the super gruesome death, you know, especially like in an action movie. You know, the guy who's been torturing people and doing all this stuff, the whole thing always gets the bullet through the head.
Yeah,
it's like, no!
Well, you can't really have John McClane, you know, slowly... you know, lowering Alan Rickman into a pit of broken glass. It wouldn't
But that was the great thing about that, was Alan Rickman doing the slow fall.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's how you do it. Yeah, it's the fall, which we have all seen, and that's fine. But it's like, oh, you see him realizing it, and that look on his face, and he knows. And it's like, oh, that's terrible. And it's like, that's great.
Apparently not acting, because he wasn't supposed to fall. But they let him fall.
Well, it's funny when you watch the Harry Potter movie where, Dumbledore does a fall that's almost exactly the same fall. Mm. And then you immediately cut to Alan Rickman, and you want him to just go, oh, I know what that's like. Yeah. That's rough, guys.
See how it feels?
Oh, sure. Everyone cries when he does it. No, I have issues with the last two Harry Potter films, but
the last one, I suppose. Yeah.
But I enjoyed that sequence. Hmm.
Now, you've come here from Australia. Mm-hmm. Now, what are Halloweens like in Australia?
Non-existent.
That is what I wanted to bring up. How come, why doesn't Australia like fun and good times and candy?
I don't really know. I think it's seen as an American holiday, despite my irate letters every time someone says that to the local paper saying it's a Celtic festival. But it's just seen as something that America does, and we don't want to be like America, so let's all go around and watch American television instead.
So you don't like, again, it's an excuse for candy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Parties during a time when it gets a little depressing.
Yeah.
But maybe not in Australia because you're getting actually into summer. sexy outfits. You know, scary good times, enjoying ghosts and whatnot.
Sure.
Why, it's like all the good stuff.
Yeah.
What's the no sale on that?
I don't know. I think Western Australia is determined to stamp out the last iota of fun that you can have. So you can look forward to that next year. Unfortunately, we just haven't gotten, despite we've got massive Irish, Irish stock in Australia from all the people being transported every 5 minutes. We haven't got the idea that it's an Irish holiday. We keep thinking it's American, I think. So I think that's the main reason, but it has started to take off in the past 5 years. When kids are sitting there going, hey, look at that, they're all getting candy. Why don't we get candy?
Yeah.
So, about 3 years ago, we got 4 or 5 trick-or-treaters, and then last year we got 10. So it's starting,
okay, all right, so it's starting to build.
To take off. Plus, movie theaters are now starting to put, this Halloween, although I wasn't there, they were trying to keep me in the city by having Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween, on Halloween. So that would have been good. But yeah. But instead, I got the full Halloween experience. So that
right.
Awesome.
Now, so how was your first proper Halloween?
It was awesome. It was instead of having 6 children in Hello Kitty costumes, there were people everywhere. It was children and adults and houses that lit up and people jumping out of the houses in costumes and scaring people. It was awesome.
Yes. Yeah. We do have fun with it. I was actually listening. They were talking on the radio, I guess, and they're saying that in Canada, it's a $6 billion industry, Halloween. So that's how much
money. And that's just the dentist.
That's how much money. That's right. That's how much money. $350 million of that, pet costumes. Yeah, that's how much Canadians spend on pet costumes.
Wow, to the point where you don't even know who's a pet and who's not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dogs are getting into bars.
Dogs, that's right.
Who knows? Well, now, did you, you did up your house, Dave, right?
Of course.
Yeah? How many pumpkins did you have?
I think we had around 20 pumpkins, I can't.
20 pumpkin house.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. No, congratulations to you. That's great. This is not sarcastic at all. This is actually great.
Okay.
Don't you think it's great?
Oh, yeah.
Are you embarrassed by your amount of pumpkins?
No, we have pumpkins. We have these skull lights we put out.
Yeah. You showed a picture of it online. It looked fantastic.
Yeah, it was very nicely decorated. The problem with our house, I was telling Gavin earlier, is that because we live in a cul-de-sac and we're in the end of the bulge, we're kind of in the curve of this cul-de-sac. When kids are walking past, not only are they not that inclined to walk down into a cul-de-sac because it's a dead end and you have to walk around and come back out again, whereas if you keep going straight, you can get more candy. But they look down. We have some fun killers at the front of the cul-de-sac who don't have anything out. So when they look, and then some at the back of it too. So when they look down, all they see is black. They don't see the fact that on our side, me and the neighbors on our side, we have our pumpkins out and stuff like that. And on the other side, the people have pumpkins. When they look down, all they see is darkness. So...
Those people will be the first to go when the purge hits anyway.
Yeah, good. I'm waiting for the purge to come. But what I'm thinking is next year, I'm going to up the candy. I'm going to do full chocolate bars,
Full-size chocolate bars,
because I think that'll get us more kids, because it will get a reputation.
Yeah.
I'll disappoint them the next year, Dave.
But,
yeah.
And this is something, again, I don't have a house. We want a house someday, mostly for Halloween purposes.
Yeah.
This is something I've never seen anyone do, and I think you would be the king of the neighborhood, and children would talk about you until the end of time.
Okay.
Here's what you need.
Yeah.
You need movie theater-sized chocolate bars. You need that 12-finger Kit Kat. Honestly, that would be, there's a full-size chocolate bar. People are like, hey, pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But this guy's giving out movie theater size candy bars. You gotta go.
Where do you get those from?
What?
Where do you get those from?
You can get it from a Costco, any shop. You can get a large.
Costco? I don't have a Costco membership, but you can get them at Costco.
Yeah, you can buy large chocolate bars from London Drugs. Yeah, of course you can. And they're fairly cheap.
That was an amusing shop to see when I first came here, because our things are all called either chemists or pharmacies.
Yes, so you got this.
I just expected to go in and some guy goes, you want some heroin?
Well, no, that's down that's the street. Different. That's farther, down the street. Yeah. I know some people that work at that place. If you,
you're in
if
the
you
wrong neighborhood
later on. We also have the many dispensaries here. Do they have those in Australia?
No.
Okay, very good. You know, maybe not maybe there yet. In the future. Now, did you go for a walk around during Halloween? And
it was great.
You did you dress up yourself?
I had some things, but I ended up not wearing them because there was a bunch of kids coming and I didn't want to steal their thunder, you see. Instead, I just stole their candy at the end of the night. No, I had my horror shirt on. So I brought a, well, I always wear horror shirts anyway, so it wasn't any different than any other day.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. And then, yeah, we walked around afterwards and I saw a raccoon again. So I was delighted to see a raccoon. They're in some sort of strange ritual to try and burn each other alive in the street.
Yes, that's fun too.
That's a Western Canada thing. I grew up in the East and we did not have that.
Apparently, not even a Western Canada. Apparently, it's a Vancouver thing.
Good.
When you say Western Canada, I think of Alberta.
Calgary?
As part of that. Nope.
Really? It seems like Calgary would. Good excuse for Calgarians to throw.
Apparently, it's a holdover from the sort of the British roots here in Vancouver of people like Guy Fawkes Day and stuff like that.
Right.
Is where it's people think it kind of comes from that. So, yeah.
Interesting. Now, did you go by any houses that had the scary jumper outers? Like,
Yes. Yeah. There was one that had like 10 animatronic figures of werewolves and Freddy Krueger and things like that. And then a bunch of them were actually people. Half of them were people who, they just grab you when you walk past. And I was fairly immune to it, like I was at the haunted house with Dave the other day. But yeah, some kids were having, you know, coronaries. It was quite cute.
Well, that's good. Seeing the kids negotiate the streets around here, and they're like, this street's too scary. Yeah. I don't want to go down this street. And then the other kid's like, there's a lot of candy, though.
Yeah.
That's true. And now they got to really negotiate horror plus candy.
For
we
the
are
greater
safe,
good. Yeah.
But I don't want, oh boy, can you just get me candy? No, you must go with me. And yeah, they're just discussing it and their parents are getting involved in the talk and like, I don't know, you gotta, you know, can you rationalize that? All right, there we go. And then sometimes they go and sometimes they don't. A lot of crawling guys on the ground. Those are creepy guys.
Yeah. There was I had to go pick up Millis during the evening. But so I was sort of diving down the street and there was a house in our neighborhood that had its carport or its garage black. And the kids had to go into there. So that was good. I thought that's a good thing. So they're just walking into the darkness.
Well, this was the other thing I thought that, again, if I have a house, which I will eventually, but I would like to do a...
Your movie-sized chocolate bars.
Yeah, but here's what I do. I do the three ways to go. So you can go one way, this way, or the other way. Now, the one way is the easy-peasy way. No scares at all. Enjoy your mini chocolate bar. Off you go. There you go, young lady and babies. Enjoy. Yeah. Medium one, full-size chocolate bars.
Okay.
Going to be a little scary. Something might go boo. Might be some spiders dropping down. That's fine.
Yeah.
Next to it, movie theater-sized chocolate bars. We're going to scare the shit out of you. You're going to cry. This is going to be really terrifying. And you just have the most horrific stuff in there. But you get the full chocolate bar at the end, like the huge chocolate bar. So it's your choice. Which of the three you want to go down?
Yeah. I think I earned a full-size chocolate bar at the end of the haunted house.
They actually had that. They had you could use a glow stick or something, and they'd modify their performance if you had a glow stick because you were a wimp.
Yeah.
So I saw a couple of people frantically trying to break the glow stick.
That's funny. And then the glow stick just bleeds all over your head.
But yeah, that was a good experience. I'd never done a haunted house before either, so that was fun.
Yeah, I figured coming from a place that doesn't celebrate Halloween, that haunted houses would be thin on the ground.
And there, I was obviously enjoying myself a lot because they didn't target me. All the people immediately honed in on David.
I seem to be getting most of the...
Yes, they were like, oh, we won't go for the big guy. We'll go for this one. He looks frightened.
Yeah, Dave was mentioning that he got backed into some sort of room.
Oh, yes, by a creepy schoolgirl.
That sounds horrifying. Like, backed into a separate room. Mm. Oh, that's no good. I don't like
weird.
That at all.
It never happened before there, and I just thought, that's an interesting thing to do because you really, I mean, unless you're just not going to go along with it, which is possible. I mean, you could just be a jerk and not go along with it. But going along with it, you're like, this is interesting, like... I'm being put into this room and like closed in here, and then what? It's weird.
Yeah,
I think it was supposed to be some sort of evil detention.
Because
it was in a schoolroom or something.
Yeah.
And it was really good. And some of the tableaus were quite gross.
Yeah,
like people pulling their own heads off and throwing them at you and things like that. lots of cool animatronics, and then there were some suspiciously still animatronics that I knew were actually going to be actors. So I was like, and it had like, press me with a button. I was like, no, I can see that that's a person waiting for someone to press it. I'm not that stupid. You know, years of fending off, you know, venomous animals has given me a sixth sense to danger.
The button next to it, you seem like a smart fellow who's not fooled by that other button. Press this button to eliminate that first button. All right, finally, here we are.
The flattery button gets them every time.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I pressed the first press me button and nothing happened, and I missed the second. I would have pressed it myself because I'm a dummy.
No, that's pretty good. If you press the first button and nothing happens,
yeah,
that actually is scary.
Yeah, it's a good
trick. Because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine took the Alien tour in London.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the Alien experience?
No.
What you do, do you know about
yeah,
this?
Yeah, the Giger Alien one.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So like one of the people that you're lined up with who's kind of chatty and is a tourist like you gets killed. Like,
oh, wow.
They get killed like right off the top by an alien, basically dragged into the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, fucking, ah! But yeah, they do all the small talk with you ahead of time. Yeah, I'm just seeing London. It's great. Yeah, what have you been seeing? Ah, me too. Blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, so then everything is like, run! And it just makes it all more real.
Yeah,
but I love the idea of someone that you're with actually getting horribly killed.
That is good. It would even be even better if they just did it randomly to one of the actual people in the party. You know, when you got like a special prize for being the victim and not actually getting go through, but it would be such a great sacrifice to scare the jeebers out of everyone else, especially if it's someone in a family.
Yeah.
The dad gets removed from the situation.
Well, what you could do is if you're the guy that books it, they could like go, listen, we can kill you horribly and set you up with a little something that'll burst out of your chest, you know, but you just got to come in a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Or say you have to go to the washroom and then come back and we'll put it under you. They won't see. And here you go. Yeah.
That'd be
pretty
good.
Sweet.
Because that would just, well, because like I was saying before, like when I went through the haunted house with the family, I mean, it's just me in the front being pushed, just pushed through the whole thing as quickly as someone could push you. And yeah, it'd be good if you just disappeared from it. Then what? You know, they've lost the person they hide behind and push.
Yeah, oh, I was tempted to use you as a shield during the clown part because I'm not fond of clowns, but I managed to hide that quite well, so the clown didn't get me.
Yes, that's why you didn't press that button.
Mm. No, clowns and me do not get along very well.
Yeah, I like clowns myself. So.
It's just the latest season of American Horror Story. Good. Of course there's going to be a creepy clown. Thank you so much. No, I don't mind things like killer clowns from outer space where they're just silly.
Yeah.
But when they're like done creepily, they really, really work. I think it's Tim Curry syndrome. You know, well, that's probably where it comes from.
From it?
Yeah.
Oh, we can take you on a tour of the It locations around here.
Oh, cool.
It works well, I think. We've kind of beat this into the ground, I guess. But it works well, I think, because...
The It? We've talked about It too much?
It too much, yes. Mm. We've really overdone it.
Although I see what you're saying.
Overdone it. But I just feel like with clowns, because it's the childhood association with the fun of clowns and the happiness of it, you know, then taking that and twisting it into someone who's a threatening clown, that is scary.
I think it's because the smile is painted on, and it's like, well, what are they looking like underneath?
Yeah.
What if they're really mean underneath, and they're just painted on? Plus, of course, they make balloon animals out of your internal organs.
Yeah.
What's scarier to you, the talky clown or the quiet clown?
Quiet, for sure.
Yeah.
That's why Michael Myers in Halloween is so creepy, because he doesn't say a word.
And then his face is behind a mask, so there's
blank.
no.
And the mask is William Shatner.
Mm. Yeah,
mask is William Shatner.
That's the most horrifying thing
of
all.
Did you know that?
What?
It's a William Shatner mask from the original Halloween.
Oh, but it's turned inside out or something?
No,
or
it's just painted white.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's William Shatner's face.
Wow, I did not know that.
That's a little bit of trivia for you.
It would have been a bit different if it had been like, you know, Mr. Spock or Dr. Court McCoy.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how they settled on that. This looked the best, I guess.
Yeah, they went to a Halloween shop to find a creepy mask, and they were going to go with a clown. And then someone saw the William Shatner Captain Kirk mask, and they said, "Wow, that would be really creepy if we modified it a bit." So they just shaved off the sideburns and painted it white.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's Michael Myers for you.
It's really surprising that Shatner has not appeared in any Halloween movies.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's just like that's, you know, just look at it, look a little familiar. There you are. I had a friend who was killed by Michael Myers in the right after a Halloween H2O where it looks like and we're done and then he's not.
Was that
done.
One underwater?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Aqua Myers.
Yeah.
And he was just he's killing people in a submarine.
Mackle Myers?
It was Halloween Resurrection, the one that I like the first... No, I hate the first 10 minutes, and then I like the rest of it.
Because, oh, I think yeah. my friend's in the first 10 minutes. He gets killed on the roof. He's one of the orderlies. He's also in the latest Tron movie. He talks to the guy as he's like backing up on the ledge before he does the big jump with the parachute. Same same fella.
Cool. Well, I've got one friend at the moment who's really happy because he's a motion capture actor and a monster actor, usually because he's over 7 feet. So he's usually in a werewolf suit or, you know, a zombie costume. But he's actually done motion capture for the latest Call of Duty, and he got the cover. So he's everywhere you go in gaming stores, he's all over the walls.
Oh, nice one.
So he's really happy about that.
And it's really him? Great. It's not just motion capture?
No, it is him. It's his photograph on the cover. So he's, I mean, admittedly, he's in a Call of Duty game, but yeah, some people like those.
The ad for the latest one looks really, really good. The ad looks good.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be the same thing, which is, here's the rail, shoot them all. Can't really make any choices. Here you go. Except the choice where it's there's something that ethically is like dubious, which seems to be the thing they do now. Like, want to kill all these people in an airport? Maybe I'll skip that level. And now you're onto this.
I've never played a Call of Duty before Ghosts, and I got it, and I thought, oh, this is actually not too bad, because it's much more fun when you play with people. Who, you know, it's cool killing 8-year-olds from Namibia or whatever, you know. Rather than just playing against the computer, especially when they scream at you very loudly afterwards. They're like, no, that was my...
Yeah, they do know how to swear, those kids, too. Oh, yeah. Oh boy, they'll teach you a word or two. Yeah.
When you play the actual game, and it's like, some of the plot is just ludicrous. It's like, okay, so South America are the villains because... They just united to take down North America because, what, they're jealous of Disneyland or something? I don't know.
Skip. Yeah.
Wasn't it originally, like, based in the actual war, like World War II or whatever?
And played... originally it was much more reality-based, and then it just went off into Cal Cuckoo Land.
And now your dad is a secret seal, and you don't know his name. Well, somehow it's your dad! Yeah,
and
there
now
you
Kevin
go.
Spacey's popped up in the latest one as well.
Yeah.
Looking even more dead-eyed and uncaring than he usually does.
Who popped up, sorry?
Kevin Spacey.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
How odd.
It's all there's always oddness. I was playing Grand Theft Auto the other day, and you can go and watch Ricky Gervais do some stand up in a comedy club for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you kill him? No. But
did you
can watch him for a while, and that's how that goes.
I guess he told him he didn't want to get killed.
Mm. Yeah, I've noticed a couple of. I'm a big gamer. I like to play lots of video games, and the grosser the better usually, but yeah, I've noticed that a lot of celebrities are going to pop up in video games. Like I recently played Dishonored, and it's got Susan Sarandon as an ancient old witch.
Okay.
And it's like, and yeah, it's she's actually very good in it. And then most
that's
recently,
a good game, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you can do some good teleporting and have people eaten by rats. That's a great one, the rat attack.
Yeah,
just a rat attack.
Yeah, you basically play an assassin in steampunk, like contemporary London that's somehow never gotten beyond like the 16th century.
Okay,
and is all
doesn't sound that different from London.
Yeah, and it's powered by whale oil that's become, you know, enchanted or something, and it's so there's all whaling everywhere,
and it's very flammable, that whale oil.
Oh yeah. Oh,
now
yeah.
The great thing is, like, now you do your rat attack, which means you summon rats.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something: you can possess animals too. Hey, I see a rat down there. Why don't I be that rat for a while? Boom! You're the rat. Going doing rat business.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And you can possess a fish as well, but they don't really do much.
Yeah,
it's sort of just like flop around a bit.
Yeah, I'm a fish. This is great. Okay, well, I guess I can swim. Yeah, it's relaxing.
But yeah, it's got Susan Sarandon, Michael Marsden, Brad Dourif pops up.
Yeah.
Amazingly not creepy for once, despite being professionally creepy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. And
another thing that's nice about that game is if you want to, you can get through it without killing anybody. Mm. You can just go through and just like knock people out and use, you know, knockout darts and whatever.
Okay.
Or you could be me and summon rats.
But the more people you kill, the more plague victims come along and the more rats come along. So it gets harder because there's plagues of rats swarming the streets. And whereas if you don't kill anybody, it's all happy and nice and everything.
Yeah, it's all right.
Interesting.
It's okay.
Interesting. What's it called? Sorry?
Dishonored.
Dishonored. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Did you play the the latest BioShock?
I haven't gotten around to it yet. I've got it, but I haven't played it. About another 60 million games.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, it's got interesting. The music is really interesting in it, and then it's weird the racism in it because you're like, I know it's supposed to be not, but oh boy, it's a tough one sometimes. What you're seeing, because it's a very racist world that you're in.
Okay.
And like, you know, the first guys you can kill are clearly racist and you're fine, you know, with that. But then there's a little bit of like, boy, this is, there's sure a lot of this around here. Okay. Yeah, I know. If you just walked in and saw me playing this game, yeah, I can't be sure my character's not in blackface right now. Not 100%. I should really walk by a mirror. But yeah, there's a little bit of without too many spoilers, it's a hole that leaks through time. And so you get music coming through it from modern times. So you get like people in old timey times singing Beach Boys songs that they've interpreted old timey style. Okay. And it sounds very cool. First couple times you hear it and like, And then you're fighting robots and like, by that point, you're just like, okay, fine.
Now, the last games I played before I left, so they're still up in the air, so I don't know what I'm going to be doing when I get back. I'll probably have absolutely no context of where I was, and I'll be going the wrong side of the street and everything, thanks to being here. But The Last of Us, which I love, but I hate the ending of. But I appreciate that they don't give you a choice to have the ending.
My sister-in-law as well, without saying what the ending is, loathes the ending.
Yeah.
Loves it, loathes the ending, yeah.
Because usually a game gives you a choice between two options, and this one is like, no, you've got one option. You have to do this, and it's absolutely alien to my morals.
Okay.
It fits with the character, but it's just like...
Yeah, that's where it's interesting, like, because, yeah, you could go, no, you should give me the choice. Yeah. Nope. So it's almost like a horror movie in that way, and that, like, you could just end the game now. You don't have to play the rest of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it, but... Are you going to do it? Mm. Yeah, right. And then you feel a little bad. But it's a feeling that in that kind of world, that's not the wrong feeling to have. So maybe I shouldn't feel super happy at the end of all this.
Yeah.
But it is a great game. And it's the extra levels are also really
good. It's a brilliant game. But yeah, like I said, the ending makes me furious. But it's interesting that a video game can make me furious with the ending choice. I was like, no!
Yeah, you care about the characters enough that, it really does bother you.
Huh? Yeah.
And what was the other one?
One I've just started playing is The Evil Within, which is by the Resident Evil people. And it's similar to Resident Evil in that you turn up, you're a policeman who turns up at this big mansion place and lots of gore and blood and zombies pop up. But then it seems to go into like an alternate reality being controlled by a mental patient. And so things go very haywire very fast. And yes, they never have the mental patients who are dreaming of nice places.
It would be fun to have in one of those games the mental institution. They actually have really good doctors, and that's the one safe place to be. It's like, and you never want to go there, but then eventually when you go there, it's just like, yeah, we're fine. We've got a lot of medicine here to heal you.
Yeah.
You could fashion some great weapons. We're all very smart since we're doctors, and we take good care of these patients. Why didn't you come here first? Clearly, this is the best choice.
Yeah, but instead, of course, it's all, you know, bloody walls and meat falling out of weird places and a butcher chasing you throughout the entire level. And
apparently, like from what I'm hearing about it, you've got very few bullets.
Yeah.
Like it's not a shoot your way out of a problem thing. It's just like, here's your three bullets, buddy. Mm. What? Plan this well.
Essentially, you have to plot your way through very carefully because the creatures are much stronger than you, much smarter than you, and much more easily angered than you. And they also have a lot of more weapons, they just rip you to pieces, basically. Plus, Jackie Earle Haley is the main villain.
Okay.
And he can alter reality as whenever he likes, and he can defy the laws of physics whenever he wants.
He's playing the same character he played in Bad News Bears.
I was just going to say, didn't you guys love him in Bad News Bears?
He was basically
doing Freddy Krueger again, but in a different outfit. So,
okay. Because no one cared for him as Freddy Krueger.
Did you like him as Freddy Krueger?
All right.
Like I said, I've been an Elm Street head since I was old enough to be one of Freddy's victims. I really enjoyed the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, with the exception of Rooney Mara as Nancy. And admittedly, that's a major part. But I thought that Jackie Earle Haley was fantastic as Freddy.
Okay, cool. I've only seen him in the Mortal Kombat game where it's that Freddy Krueger.
Okay, so you're really prejudging.
Are we getting too deep nerd for you right now, Dave? Have we lost you at all?
Well, you know, I don't really play video games, so...
Yeah. You're quite good at them.
I played Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And I play, you know, so basically my experience of the game is me walking sideways into a wall and then having trouble getting away from the wall and walking along the wall and then fitting through a door that happened to be there because I was still going sideways.
Yeah.
Then I went sideways down the hallway. That's usually my experience.
And then here comes the dogs. Oh, for crying out.
I don't know what to do.
Then I'm laying on the ground
being consumed by dogs.
You're very good, though, at Half-Life 2.
At dying.
You were very good at Half-Life 2.
Okay.
One of my favorite things was watch you try to get through a motorboat level for a long period of time. It's good memories of that.
Wait a second. That was very good, or does it mean it was enjoyable watching my ineptitude?
You are actually... Well, here's the thing. You will not give up. So it's very you do well eventually because you get very good at the thing that you've died horribly at 17 times in a row.
That's true.
But by the time you're done with that, you are a master.
I'm a master.
Because you went through the boat thing about 1 foot at a time. So you've learnt a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife was very thrilled with my motorboat skills after.
I must admit, I'm like that as well. I don't like losing video games, and I like getting all the trophies. So probably my record would be Dead Space 2, which has a trophy where you have to play through on the almost impossible setting with like 3 saves in the whole game.
Ugh.
And they take you back to that one save, so you lose hours of gameplay. I think it took me about 3 weeks of screaming and inventing new profanities, but I finally did it.
Well, I remember in Resident Evil, like one version of it, where you go through the whole game and then you can play it again, but if you want to get the ultimate trophy, you play it as a guy with like no guns, and you're not even a guy. You're basically a lump.
Yeah.
It's just like going through things trying not to get killed. You're basically pudding, solidified pudding, just going through and everyone wants to eat the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's insane that you would ever be able to do that. I don't care for that. I like it when you go through the game and then they go, would you like the rocket launcher that kills everything? Yes, I would. Let's play through this game again. And everyone that gave you any guff gets a little rocket in the face. And that's the way we play that.
Yeah.
The president's daughter alone.
I did see a little of the movie the other day. So.
Which one?
Resident Evil.
The first one?
I guess so.
Where they make the dumb choice where the little girl, the little hologram girl,
yeah.
Says, listen,
don't do it
because you're going to really fuck things up.
Yeah.
We'll show you. No, she was right.
Yeah.
All the advice they give is completely right. You know, it's one of those movies where the hero, much like Ghosts of Mars, the heroes are dumbasses that if they weren't there, everything would be fine.
I did enjoy Ghosts of Mars.
They're idiots!
But I love John Carpenter. I mean, he could direct the phone book and I would like it.
They learn the way this disease is spread is you shoot someone, then the virus goes and possesses other people, and they keep shooting people after they've heard this. And at the end, the movie ends with them, you know, breaking out of prison or whatever, and they get guns again, stupid, and they go like, well, let's go kick some ass, and the last line is, because that's what we do best. No! What you do best is infect the world! So stupid!
I was rooting for the Martians, and it's like, I assumed that was all there. You know, it's like, let's make them kill us so we can spread over the entire planet.
Yeah, it's a good plan, because they're dumb. And they also kill Pam Grier way too early.
Yeah, they did. She was very good at it.
She's so cool and, like, dead. What? Like, you couldn't afford Pam Grier for this whole movie? What was she asking?
That's the only thing I didn't like about the Nightmare on Elm Street remake is that they had Kellan Lutz from Twilight, and they kill him in the opening sequence, and he was really interesting. And then they have Nancy, and Rooney Mara was terrible as Nancy, deliberately terrible as Nancy.
Why was she deliberately terrible?
She didn't want to do the film, and she aced the audition, and she's like, "Oh crap, I'm gonna get that for sure." So she sabotaged her own performance.
Oh,
and it shows.
That's kind of terrible.
Yes, I've heard some not very nice things about her that I won't get into in case. Miss Mara's lawyers are listening. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do. We do have a lot of legal people listening.
This is the most popular show with lawyers.
Let me ask you this, Nightmare on Elm Street-wise.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the TV series? Freddy's Nightmares,
I didn't think it was very good. I mean, it had some good episodes, but most of them were pretty silly.
Here's one episode I remember. So you got they're running a race around a track.
Mm.
Okay, running a race around a track.
Yeah.
Then the one racer doesn't see that there's a razor wire and gets her head cut off.
Yeah.
That's the twist. What? What's that mean? That's nothing. There's nothing to it. She didn't she didn't try to sabotage anyone. There's no reason for that. She wanted to win at all costs. Nothing. Nothing. Just she was running. She liked to run. And then she got her head cut off.
Yeah, but that's Freddy. That's Freddy doing his ironic killing.
There's no irony. There's no irony. You know, that was the thing. He would always kill you in a way. Well, usually. There'd be one person he'd just go stabbing to or drag you up the wall.
Do you know what would make that the best scene in the world, though, is after that happens and he went, she got the point.
What, where she just gets her head cut off and it doesn't make any sense?
Exactly.
That'd be great if you didn't mix it up.
She got the what point? That was a razor wire. She got, I don't know what she got.
It was fun watching the first one, though, because they recreated the origin story of Freddy Krueger, but like for TV, so not much went wrong. It was just like, oh,
yeah, that was the main
fire this is. Ooh, I'll just step over here.
That was the main problem with it. They couldn't really go very far because it was for television. Yeah. And you're dealing with an undead child-killing child molester. It's not exactly TV-friendly.
Yeah. And you make him the host is weird. Mm. It's like if Rod Serling in Twilight Zone was a creepy child molester, and then he was introducing all the segments and just like, you know, imagine if you will, this man who likes money more than anything. I sure do like molesting kids. Anyway, but money is the root of all evil. You know that I'm a molester, right? Anyway, let's watch this story. I'll be over here thinking of children. It's just like, well, no, I can't. Someone kill the host. Forget this story of the girl running around the track and getting her head cut off. Like, why are we even, there's nothing connecting this
she
to
got
this.
The point.
I've never stood to this. I haven't seen much of the original Twilight Zone, but the 80s rejig was one of my favorite shows of all time, so I really love that one.
The Twilight Zone?
The 80s.
Didn't they just basically refilm? George R.R. Martin.
A lot of them were. Yeah.
They did a lot of the remakes of the original?
Some were.
Some, yeah. And then some were just, okay, but again, then some were just this, which is, hey, we're in a warehouse. I'm a little scared to be in this warehouse. Yeah, this warehouse is pretty creepy. Anyway, I'm going to go take the elevator. Okay. Elevator doors open. Giant spider inside grabs the person. Yeah. Elevator doors shut. Go up. Blood drips down. The end. Ironic twist! You didn't expect a spider, did you? What a statement on morality and man's inhumanity towards
but
man.
But for every one of those, they had ones like, you know, Paladin of the Lost Hour with Danny Kaye, you know, written by Harlan Ellison. That was a brilliant one. And Eye of Newton, the one with the guy from Firefly, Ron Glass, is a demon who's trying to tempt a math professor, and his t-shirt keeps changing and things like that. So...
Doesn't that have the old twisteroo at the end that's like kind of a the Get Lost one? Is that
yes,
the one?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
And my absolute favorite one was with James Coco, where he he's a failed playwright who wishes that his next partner would be the best playwright ever. And so he goes back with Shakespeare and has to ghostwrite Shakespeare's plays. So he's from the Bronx and he's like doing all of the, you know, the modern parlance and it just goes horribly wrong and it's really funny. The funny ones were actually probably the best ones rather than the dark and creepy and horrible ones.
I did like the one where the guy got a job driving a truck.
Oh, yeah, to hell.
It turned out that like you're delivering souls to hell. And then he starts listening to them and just going, what are you in for? And like, yeah, one of them was like, I don't know, because I'm gay? It's like, what? No. All right, I'm letting you guys out. Yeah, lets people out. And I just like that idea of like, he's just, no, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Forget it. Because I never liked the idea of hell. I also thought hell was a terrible idea.
And that one
so it's just like, awesome. Fuck it, we're letting you out. Nope.
Yeah, he gave them a second chance. And he said, heaven's that way. And they all run across.
Yeah, they all sneak around. Yeah.
That was actually directed by Wes Craven. He did quite a few of the early episodes. So yeah.
Interesting.
And he also did the very first thing that Bruce Willis was ever in. One of his episodes where he has a clone who I think it was called Shatterday, and he has he has a clone who is better at his life than he is.
That's right.
I think
that was like because what was the film that he did recently where it was like robots that would live your life for you?
Oh yeah, the not Looper, the one before that.
Yeah, I want to say it's like The Substitutes, but that's not what it is. But it begins with an S.
The Expendables.
Yeah, that was it. It was The Expendables. Yeah. And when I saw that, I was like, this reminds me of that Twilight Zone episode where there was a...
There's all these plastic robots that are living this...
But yeah, everyone has like this perfect robot avatar body that they can look really good. And his one just has a wig. And so it's like, oh, look, he's got hair. That's his entire concession to being perfect.
Yeah. Aside from that, everything's fine. Well, George R. R.
Look
Martin
your broken nose.
Has
everything's
said about,
fine.
I said about like working on that he liked it, but it was like really frustrating.
Yeah.
And he went like, oh, you just want to do all these great ideas, big ideas. And they go, we don't have the budget.
Yeah.
So like, I got to go write novels because I got to write novels that can never be filmed.
Yeah.
Unfilmable novels. Yeah. And those are what has become Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I'm delighted that he's actually getting more attention now because his old stuff where he used to write more horror-y things, those books have become really valuable and I've still got them, so I can sell them at a profit now.
Oh, yes.
Now,
you have to buy them again at a loss.
Yeah, but he did one, Fever Dream, which is about vampires on a riverboat.
Okay.
In the Mississippi, and his short novellas, like he did one that's absolutely terrifying, and they filmed for The Outer Limits, called Sand Kings, with Beau Bridges, which is about a species of intelligent insect that worships the people who own it. But it goes horribly wrong, of course, as they always go horribly wrong. Nothing ever goes horribly right for them, I've noticed.
Except for the one guy who, this is in Twilight Zone, who went to hell and everything worked out great.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And he was so frustrated because, everything's working out.
I just want to think, I think it's the adjective horribly that makes it not go right. Mm. You know, once you say it goes horribly right, I mean, that's just, they all go horribly right in a way, because they all go in the way they want, only what they get is what they didn't want, you know. So.
But yeah, on the plane I caught up with the latest Game of Thrones, so I'm all spoiled up now, so I don't have to worry, and I can go home and hold it over my relatives and friends' heads.
That's good. Since we're talking about horror films, I know you're a huge buff, so I just want to ask, who do you think is the best horror film director? That's, which I think is a small pool, because I think people strive to get out of there.
I'm going
to
say Carpenter. Am I wrong about that?
It's got to be either John Carpenter or David Cronenberg before he got a hard-on for Viggo Mortensen recently.
Yeah.
I think, and Wes Craven, those three I would say are the best. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Cronenberg. I wasn't thinking with that name until you said it, but once you say that.
The problem with him is that he's sort of gotten away from, he's going more into comic book films, which is fine, but gangster films, and it's like, you've cast Viggo Mortensen again, great. And it's like, just date him and get it over with and get back to body horror, for God's sake.
When he was in his prime, when he was in his horror prime.
Yeah, The Fly is still one of my favorite films.
So, such smart movies. Totally different level. I mean, you could say Carpenter, but for every Halloween, there's a Fog, you know.
Oh, blasphemy. The Fog is one of my favorites.
Is it really? Yeah. It's so odd.
I just love that one. The remake is god awful, but they had a shower scene with Tom Welling, and that they didn't even bother to show any skin.
These are unique criticisms of these movies.
But the original Fog, I love that film. It manages to be a ghost story that's actually creepy.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that most ghost stories aren't, because they can't actually do anything to you. These ones could, which is why it was. And originally, apparently, there were not anywhere near as many ghosts. It was going to be just left up to your imagination. And the studio said,
"Well, I have to say, I prefer that in films."
It was just like the fog showing up and then people dying, and it's like, why are they dying? Are they asthmatic or something? You know, whereas the studio wanted reshoots, so they actually inserted the ghosts actually, hacking and chopping, and which actually makes it much creepier, because there's actually a tangible threat now in the fog.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that experiment they've shown online recently, where it simulates a presence in the room to simulate what a ghost is feeling like? You're nodding. Did you see this?
No, I'm just.
Here's what it is. It's basically like you control, like sort of with your finger, a device in front of you, and then behind you, a thing pokes you, basically in the same way that you are poking this thing, right?
Okay.
So you control it.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing that, it's fine and everything's fine. Then they do it so that it's a few seconds off, randomly a few seconds off, but you're still controlling it, but just a few seconds off. And all these people, who were doing this, like to a person out of 12, said they felt a presence in the room. It felt like a ghost. Like they felt like there was people watching them.
Yeah.
And two of them just went, end this now. I can't stand it.
Wow.
So their theory on this is when you feel like there's a presence in the room, it's you being disoriented. Something's happening and your body is adjusting to the disorientation by thinking there's something here. And so that's why we kind of feel like there's ghosts in the room.
Or you're about to be horribly murdered by an intruder.
Yeah, you
could be.
Know.
This sounds like maybe a ghost experiment that a ghost has set up just to make you not scared of ghosts. That's right. And then all of a sudden,
Clever ghost.
But yeah, John Carpenter would be up there, because he's done a few dodgy ones, but even the dodgy ones I enjoyed.
Yeah.
He does such a wide variety of like just crazy shit, like crazy stuff.
Such as?
Big Trouble in Little China.
That's a great film, but yeah. That's
yeah, but
so,
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is nuts, with people like giving their motivation in dialogue when you just meet them and things like that. And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
The Chinese have many hells. What the hell is Gracie Law doing here? And things like
He'll go extreme. Like he'll go to extremes that people would normally go, and we're just going to bring it in from there, right? No, and he'll just go to town. Escape from New York, also crazy town.
Yeah,
you know.
But Escape from New York is more is more of a film that you can understand people going, okay, I get what this film is.
Yeah, that's more linear that way.
Yeah,
A to B kind
whereas.
But still with pretty broad characters.
Yeah. Big Trouble in Little China, I think the reason it has those weird kind of expositions is because the studio was terrified of the film. And so they made him make it super clear what was happening as much as possible. They wanted everything explained, you know, and so probably the original script was much more.
And so he said, oh, you want exposition? Yeah. Okay. Well, you mean he's the guy who was in Chinatown, but no one's even seen him for 500 years?
Exactly, yes.
Well, have you seen the YouTube thing of just Kurt Russell asking what's going on? And like, it's seriously, like it goes on forever. Just like, what? Who's that? What's happening? Huh? Who's that guy? What am I? Huh? Yeah. What? Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think that's what it was, because I think they were scared of a film, one that had Chinese people as like a major part of the film, not, you know, a secondary character played by a Jewish person, but actual Chinese people. Yeah. Oh my God, no one's going to see this movie, which actually was the case, because people weren't ready for a magical martial arts.
It was not a mainstream movie.
It was not a mainstream movie, but
this isn't Star Wars.
It had mainstream movie money in it, you know, and like, it was his, you know, after The Thing, it was his next big studio film. And it was also his next big studio. Well,
that's the other thing,
bomb.
Is using Kurt Russell in such different ways in all those films. Mm.
Yeah.
It's just like those two together.
Yeah, Elvis. Wow. Yep. Elvis and then The Thing.
Yeah, he's obviously his muse. It's
for those films, what else has he done?
He's in a lot of them. He did the Escape from New York, from LA, those ones, The Thing. He has like a bunch of people who keep showing up.
Yeah, there are people he likes.
I'd look them up, but Dave doesn't like me to look things up during a show.
Well, because
he knows he'll always be wrong.
He used Victor Wong several times, who was Egg Shen in, he came up in Prince of Darkness, which is another one of my favorite.
I love that film.
Yeah.
That's a great film.
That's probably my equal favorite with The Thing, I think. That's really good. And yet every time I talk to someone else about it, they say, oh, that was such a terrible movie. I was like, well, you didn't get it.
Well, you didn't get it and you didn't enjoy the fun of it. You know, like, it was made on the cheap.
Yeah.
Because he had decided to leave the major film studios at that point, probably because it wasn't fun working in them. So then he did They Live and then he did Prince of Darkness. And in both films, you can kind of see where the money ran out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can do this much, and now they're going to have a shootout because I'm out of money. So we're just going to have
You can actually hear when it changes tracks, literally. It has a massively long credit sequence, which is really good. Like, the credits are still going 15 minutes into the movie. And then, like, it goes from like, okay, build up, build up, build up for about an hour. And then the music track literally kicks over into payoff. And it's an amazingly tense, amazingly creepy.
Yeah,
it's
really good. I have not seen this one. Now,
you've not seen Prince of Darkness.
Really, really good. Tempting. Yeah,
It mixes Satanism, H.P. Lovecraft, the Quatermass movies from back in the '70s, all that kind of thing together in a slasher movie package, and it's just a brilliant film.
And plus, has a bit of science fiction too.
Science fiction. All the characters are scientists, which is one of my kinks.
Yeah,
and they actually act like scientists.
Yeah, they're smart.
They don't act like complete morons who just, you know, got their degree in a cereal box.
No one's saying an English professor. That's my least favorite line in anything. Just like, an English professor, he's trying to explain it to you.
Yeah.
You shut up.
No, they're actual scientists and they actually behave in a logical way.
Yeah.
They don't make these weird, totally unscientific.
They're not Prometheus
things.
Type scientists have no idea what they're doing and just got the degree the day before. You know?
Apparently.
Even though I like that movie because it's so stupid, they're just so dumb, they're endearing in that film.
Well, it's like someone decided they gave them these roles. But they didn't bother to do any research on what those roles consisted of. And so after that, it's just whatever.
My favorite part is the exobiologist who's supposed to study aliens, who's terrified of aliens until he sees one that's clearly giving him a threat display. And then he decides it's the cutest thing he's ever seen. And is surprised when it eats his face off.
Yes. Now, all I could see with that is if there was something that it was releasing that made it look like it was cute. And it's like, oh, it's, you know.
He's wearing a helmet, though. He has his own breathing.
Hypnodisc.
I guess so.
You know, doing a cobra thing where it hypnotizes you. And
spinning.
Then you're like, oh, I'm just going to go, why are you doing this?
And, of course, the android, you know, is evil because he's got a British accent. If they'd only programmed him with the American accent, he would have turned out like Bishop, you know. But the two androids with the British accents, they're not up to any good.
Oh, Brits in space are the most evil.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with British people on Earth, but the second you get them into space, murder spree. Terrible.
Alec Guinness? Come on, guys.
Finally, they're away from the influence of the Queen's Teutonic bosom. so they can just go. They can go to town.
Yeah, and let me just say, Obi-Wan is a monster. Don't even start with Obi-Wan. You know he's a horrible monster that, like, you know, should have been fighting, cowered it off, lives on a planet.
I don't know that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about
because I saw the first film.
Right.
And he's in the desert, and they come
right,
and get him.
That's
there.
Right. Old guy in the desert. He goes, "Hey, kid, why don't you fight for me?" Really? Because you seem to have like all these superpowers. And anyway, I'm gonna go have a fight with someone I can't beat. And now I'm dead. Well, sorry. I'll try to come back to you as increasingly powerful ghosts. How's that sound?
You're judging the film as if three films before it existed, which is not the case.
I don't know. I think, like, even if you just take it as Obi-Wan...
You never took it that way before.
No. So but let's take it as Obi-Wan, like, you just first see him. Mm-hmm. Old man tells young kid, hey, you should go fight something you have no chance against.
He doesn't really say that, though, does he?
Well, he kind of does, but I think he's expecting him to, you know... Be his father's son, shall we
say.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, he's doing the old, let me just give you this lightsaber. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, use it or don't. I don't know. Anyway, let me just tell you something about your old man. Yeah, he was a pretty big hero and did a lot of great things. But no, if you want to stay here on this vapor farm, that's cool. No, but it's your choice. It's 100% your choice. Anyway, this is the path you should probably take.
But he's clearly still pretty powerful because he does the mind wavy-wavy on the stormtroopers. And then he's, you know, he cuts the walrus man's arm off in the cantina. So he's clearly not, you know, a harmless old grandpa kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've, especially with the prequels, I've always, I mean, not so much with the original films where they were just paragons of good, but with the prequels, I think the Jedi are pretty much just as bad as the Sith.
Oh, 100%.
And they're not, I don't think they were meant to be by George Lucas's writing.
Yeah.
But when you have them, like, it's like, yes, we're the good guys who don't want you to get married or fall in love or rescue your mother from sand people or have a baby or why are we the good guys again?
Yeah. Anyway, and I'm a little bit racist towards this Jar Jar Binks guy. Yeah. I'm grabbing his tongue when he's trying to get some food.
Well, admittedly.
That seems like the rudest thing you could possibly do unless you grabbed a guy's dick while he was peeing and went, don't. You know, there's really...
Admittedly, Jar Jar Binks is an abomination that I would have liked to have seen them hack to pieces very graphically
Understood.
In an entire movie of his
Understood.
Own.
Understood, but you still don't grab the guy's tongue. You know, it's still quite rude. Now, can I ask you a Star Wars-y question, guys?
Sure.
Okay, here's something I was thinking the other day that didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
All right, so the Jedi have built these lightsabers.
Okay.
And they built them with a crystal, and they built them with all this stuff. Is that the only thing the Jedis have built? Like, it seems
Once
like they built one weapon and just went, we're done. And then everyone else is building Death Stars. And it's like, now I appreciate this whole Force thing you're working on, but maybe... you're losing the tech war, guys. If you just have the lightsaber and these guys are blowing up a planet, maybe put some more money into science.
They seem to have a couple. I mean, they've got the droids and things running around and the TIE fighters
Do you think they control the droids?
Well, they certainly seem to know how to use them and operate.
Then they're the biggest sons of bitches in the galaxy. Because if the Jedis are the ones who built the droids, they built them to feel pain.
Because
they can feel pain. And if you build a robot to feel pain who's going to be your slave, then you are a sack of shit.
Yeah,
well it's a survival mechanism, though. You don't want them breaking down because they don't see a... They don't feel that they're
there's
being
a little
crushed.
Difference between that. How about then you stop instead of danger, instead of you feel agony, and when you see them with the Jawas, we're torturing one by burning his feet.
Yeah.
You know, if you let their feet be so pained that they scream, then you're a horrible, horrible thing. It just feels weird that they built one thing and then went fuck science and then walked away after they built that one thing.
They were supposed to be more naturalistic, whereas the Empire has all of the droids and things like that. But they have. But they're pretty droidy, and I assume Luke got his hand from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Where'd that science go? Where's your science now?
I was always wondering, even as a kid, I was like, in the second film when he went to see Yoda, and it's like, go over there, that tree is unusually strong with the dark side. I was like, a tree? And I was like, how did a tree become strong with the dark side is what I wanted to know. It's like, you know, it's like Darth Yu or something like that. I assume there was some sort of horrible massacre inside it.
I always just picture it, and this is me. It's okay. Guys, I'm gonna get a little blue right now.
Okay,
that's where Yoda goes to jerk off. That's his jerk off tree. Like that's you know he just said the one place that's where he has all his dark thoughts and just like does whatever he does. He goes in that tree and he spilled a lot of force in that tree. And when he's saying Luke, don't go in that tree. There's just a lot of magic going on there. So don't go in that tree. And then he does because that's where Yoda does his business. It's the one dark spot on the thing.
The only thing that I would have really liked with the Yoda character is if he said something like, too bad I must go, and then he crawled into a turtle shell and stuck his head.
Why?
I don't know, he looks like a turtle, so he just...
Yep. then he goes, race me, Luke.
That was one of the problems I had as a kid. And again, another problem was like with the Tauntauns on Hoth. And I was like, what kind of stupid-ass native reptile dies in 5 minutes after going into a snowstorm? I mean, unless they weren't native, but then why would they bring reptiles to an ice planet?
Are they reptiles?
They're clearly reptiles.
I guess they do have tails like a reptile.
Yeah. Oh, I guess because of the fur, I did not think they were reptiles.
Yeah, they're definitely reptilian. They've got a reptilian head, dinosaur kind of stance.
Yeah,
and all that
kind
of. And it's like, if they're not native, then they're the stupidest pack animals you could have brought to the place. And,
totally. And put a jacket on them, too. Yeah. Why don't you, you jerks?
Well, I think the idea in the film is that the conditions are so bad that even this native animal,
even the polar bears are dying.
Even the polar bears are dying, exactly. Yeah. It's so bad that it's so cold out that the polar bears.
And I always felt sorry for the poor snow beast thing as well. When he was, all he wanted was, you know, a friend, and he gets his arm lopped off.
Is that what he wanted? A friend?
Well, a friend and a meal.
Together. He wanted to combine. He's an efficient snow beast. He wanted a friend and a meal at the same time. I can kill two birds with one stone, he said.
Yeah, he's hanging them up. Yeah. Like he's got enough sentience to know this is how you properly prepare. He's gonna drain them, he's gonna eat them well. He's probably gonna make a nice
kosher
meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's gotta just kill them in one stroke, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? Or maybe this is part of a religious ceremony for him, and he's going to invite them to dinner and have a nice time. But no, then they're all choppy with the arms, because that's what Jedi's like to do. Chop your damn arm off.
Yep.
Jerks.
Or maybe, guys, it's just a movie. I don't want to blow your mind.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Don't blow your mind.
But Dave, this is just a podcast.
There's a reason that when you get to grade 12 and you go to see Return of the Jedi, you go, what a pile of shit.
Well, no, that's because it is a pile of shit, except for the opening and the closing. The middle part is just, this is Star Wars all over again. But yeah, the opening on Jabba's palace and the whole thing with the Emperor at the end is really good. And then the rest of it you fall asleep for.
How about this, too, when they're like, okay, so you're... Because people are always like, oh, you build a second Death Star. Mm. Well, then you probably built more, right? Like, there's no way these are the only two Death Stars. If you built two, you've built more around the universe, so you're doomed.
Are you sure that they would build more?
I'm not sure they're going to build more. But if they have the technology to build the second one this fast... it's not going to be hard to build another one somewhere else.
Well, things second time around, things always go faster because you know the mistakes.
Right, so third time around, here's the other Death Star. Meanwhile, again, your tech is so low that you're going to attack it. Hopefully that there's a hole again that you can do.
You can hold off.
I was always with the second one, with the lady who's giving the plans of the second Death Star.
The only other woman?
Yeah.
except for the aunt.
Yeah, that's right.
But then she's dead.
Yeah. But one of my friends said, oh, she reminded me of you because she was concerned about the people who, you know, who gave their lives for these planets. And I was like, bugger that. They should have been more careful. It was their job. It's like, what kind of stupid ass spies get caught by the Empire when that's the only thing they've been asked to do? It's like, yeah, they should have been more careful. Screw them.
Also, this whole war is stupid if you look at the prequels.
Yes, don't look at the prequels, people.
No.
Do not
ignore the prequels. Possibly the prequels. The prequels may not be any good
either. I'm cautiously optimistic for the next ones because George Lucas has nothing to do with them.
Now, what's it called? Force Awakens?
Force Awakens, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
The next one will be the Force, you know, sleeps in for a bit.
And maybe they're going to give a reason for Obi-Wan to be so long. Dormant.
In the tooth.
Dormant.
By the time we see him 15 years later, and all of a sudden you're a very old man. You and McGregor, what have you been doing?
But let's ignore those. The idea that the Force is dormant, so even the Jedi can't really act until there's enough people operating, you know, for the good that the Force can be powerful again.
I always thought it was his penance. He was doing it like an exile because he's, oh, I've screwed that up. Oh, look, I created Darth Vader. Oh, bugger, I'm going to go into exile for it.
But he's hanging out with his ghost buddy.
Yeah, and also he's keeping...
Who's his ghost buddy?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, yeah.
Is
and
he?
He's,
yeah. That's how they wrap it up. They go like, hey, by the way, your friend has a new skill. Yeah. What? He's got a certain set of skills? Yeah, very unique set of skills, one of which is coming back as a ghost.
So he's been having freaky ghost sex with Liam Neeson for the past 30 years anyway. So.
Or Liam's just complaining all the time, and he's got his ghost roommate, and he's like, ugh. Oh, this is a pain in the ass. Well, but listen, I'm here for one job and one job only, to protect the aunt, the uncle, and the kid. That's my job, and I'm going to do it. Anyway, for crying out, I'm the worst at this. Okay, I just got to keep that kid safe. Oh, did I just send him to fight Darth Vader? Oh, boy, that's the one thing I shouldn't have done. I'm a big dummy.
I'm going into exile again. 20 years in a cave, everybody.
Well, listen, I think I can fight Darth Vader. Let me just give this a try. Hey, is that Luke over? Oh, now I'm a ghost. Oh, brother.
Don't you think he knows he's going to die when he goes into that fight?
I don't think he knows he's going to die when he goes into the fight. I think he decides to make the sacrifice.
I think
he just
yeah.
goes,
I think
he I'm knows. Not worried about this. And it's very Buddhist, and there you go.
I think it was pretty much Alec Guinness saying, get me out of this movie quick, my agent. So that's how they did it. Yeah.
But I do get some money on the back end of this, right? Yeah, for all the good that's going to do you, buddy. Good luck, sucker. Okay, chump. And then right to the bank.
The problem with that film is that after that, every British actor was doing movies like that, trying to cash in the same way. They're just like, oh, well, if that worked, then I can be in the dark hole or the black hole, and then I'll be cashing in the big money. Nope, not at all.
Well, admittedly, the black hole suffered from having completely useless science fiction, like with the meteor crashing through the ship and things. But it did have Anthony Perkins in a good role, I suppose.
You know what, guys? I saw that movie when I was in grade 8, which is 1980. That's the last time I watched it, so I don't really have...
Do you know what I know the most of it is that it was a comic strip as well. I used to read the comic strip all the time.
Okay.
And watch the movie like on Wonderful World of Disney one night when it was on.
But here's what I'm proud of. We had a choice.
Your family.
Well, my family I'm proud of.
But number one
let's get
is
carried
this.
Away.
No,
yeah,
family
this is
number two.
This is family schmamly. This is what I'm most proud of. We could have gone to see two films. The Black Hole.
Yeah.
The new Star Trek film. The first Star Trek film with William Shatner, etc. I said, let's go see the... Because I don't like Star Trek. I said, let's go see The Black Hole. And I was right. The Black Hole was a much better film. Mm. I've seen Star Trek. That film is long and dull.
Well,
very dull.
Yeah. The original one is pretty boring. It's
yes.
Always, it's like two, they say with the even ones.
Two talking machines.
Well,
half an hour.
It's space is a bummer.
Not like that, but why?
And remember all the fun planets you went to? None of that. Here's what we're going to do. First of all, let's use the transporter. Oh, guy really mangled in it, huh? Oh, that's weird.
Yeah,
that's
remember
not
that
good.
Scene.
Like
that.
Let's have a 40,
that
yeah, that's
was,
really
45
a
minute,
scene, yeah.
45 minute docking sequence. And then let's have a half an hour of two.
Just looking for parking. Is a half hour looking for space
two
parking?
Two satellite. This is like a screen.
Is it after 8? I don't know. Can we park here now?
Two satellite dishes talking to each other for half an hour. I mean, that's, come on, guys.
And then the whole, with a spoiler, just like, Verger, what's that? I mean, Voyager? Oh, that was the twist.
What?
Yeah. The,
oh.
The
oh.
Voyager
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. That's right. Wait, yeah. Yeah.
But the bald lady was interesting. You don't see a bald lady much. That was interesting, right? Seeing a bald lady.
No.
And then the no, lead guy
yeah,
recently
Stephen,
got
Stephen
in some trouble.
Collins. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, the scariest thing about that was he's 67. I was like, my God. Yeah. I remembered him from Tales of the Gold Monkey more than Star Trek.
Oh man. Okay. We're doing the big pulls.
The series that my brother used to think I'd made up. Until it came out on DVD, and I was like, I told you!
Ah! Yeah, and then, like all brothers, probably went, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah,
no, this is weighing heavy on me, my whole... Yeah, I tried to do that with my family once.
Oh,
it was like, it was a series.
The
they were all hats. They danced around. The kid fell in a magic hat. I think that's what you dreamt. I did have nightmares about it, but I'm not confusing the nightmares with the fact that there was a series where there was hats, and they all went down, and Charles Nelson Reilly was there. I don't think that exists. Sure. It really did! You're thinking of Match Game. No, I'm not thinking of Match Game. Are you thinking of Ghost of Mrs. Muir? No! And then, yeah.
Oh,
here
I
comes
remember
the...
that one as well. Ghost of Mrs. Muir. That was another one they thought I made up, I think. That was with...
That's not a bad one. Rex Harrison and
yeah, well, the series
well,
had the guy from Knight Rider
oh,
in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm...
Not David Hasselhoff. The guy who was the person.
The Bostonian.
Edward Mulhere, I think his name was, from memory. Unless that was the character's name.
Yeah, I think Edward Mulhere was the character's
yeah,
name.
But he did look like kind of Rex Harrison, Vincent Price kind of character.
Guys, you can all look this up at home. By the way, Gavin, is this like when you listen to the show, except you can't turn it off now? Like, what's this like to you being like... Because you have listened to the show in the past, right?
It's a
okay.
Good show,
well, you don't have to throw as a compliment. We weren't fishing, but I am.
No,
glad.
I like compliments.
Okay, fair enough.
No, it's good. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's interesting to actually be on the other side for a change. Look, it's a cool little setup.
Cool. Yeah. Now you've done a couple of other podcasts.
Oh yeah, it's basically the podcast tour. This vacation.
Now, are we the first one that will? Because we're going to air this one this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Are we the first one that's going to come out?
I think Horse Track Hooligans beat you to that by about a few days.
Damn it. Okay, all right. All right, so on horse track, generally what you talk about?
It's essentially anything that comes into our sick and twisted little minds.
Okay, all right.
And usually Star Wars does come up eventually.
Okay, have you covered the same ground with us that you did with them?
No.
Oh, thank God, okay. And then you were on the Caustic Soda podcast.
Talking about spiders, because that's where I live.
That's right.
In Spider Town.
Absolutely. Okay.
Perth is known as Spider Town. When you drive in, it says, Welcome to Spider Town, has a huge...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Our mayor has a
billboard. Yeah. Yes, and he eats kids at high school commencement ceremonies.
Wait, that was a snake, wasn't it?
Was it?
Mm. Am I right?
He did eat spiders, though, to become the demon.
That's
there
right.
You did.
There you
we
go.
There you go.
It all comes in. It's all a circle of life, everybody.
just to go quickly back to it. Did you like the ending of it? Since you like spiders,
I read the book. And I love the book, and I love the Tim Curry parts of the miniseries, and I hated everything else about it.
Okay.
So
the spider thing didn't.
I knew it was coming because I'd read the book, but admittedly, in the book, he says that, or King implies that the spider is only that we can the only part of it that we can see that translates it to a spider, because anything else would drive us completely buggo.
Right. So the most calm, soothing, non-frightening part
is a giant
killer spider. And the second most non-scary thing is the clown that eats children in the sewer.
Yeah.
Okay. But the rest of the stuff is scary shit. We cannot show you the rest.
No, the actual miniseries is terrible. I mean, the kids part is better than the adult part.
100% better.
But,
yes.
And all the Tim Curry sequences are brilliant, but the rest of it is just god awful. And it's just very, very much unlike the book, which is another reason why I hate The Shining, the Kubrick film, because I love the book so much. I know everybody who looks like that, just aghast.
We were
Do you know who else
to.
Feels that way?
Stephen King.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's come out again this week mentioning that for some reason.
Wow.
Every so often he comes out and goes, by the way, I hate The Shining.
Well, because we were talking, he heard our show where I was saying it was better than the book.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to, once and for all, it is not better than my book.
No. Well, I always want to mention, though, I do know the sixth leg of the spider.
Mm-hmm.
I know the person who played that in the TV movie.
Yeah.
A very talented fellow named Scott Owen. And if Scott's listening, good on you, buddy. We're thinking of you, and I wish you could meet Gavin, because you were part spider.
Six.
And Gavin probably enjoy
six leg of a spider, interesting euphemism. But if I could just continue my king bashing just a little bit.
Sure.
The problem with saying that a telepathic spider is the only part that your mind can conceive of this evil creature is then your mind stops at the telepathic spider.
Mm.
If you do not mention a telepathic spider, but just say it was so evil, it was unbelievable, blah, 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 or whatever, it was more horrible than you could imagine, or then your mind can go from beyond that point. But as soon as you put a name to it, as soon as you put a face to it, that's kind of like when Michelangelo painted God. Once you put a face to the concept, that becomes your face of the concept.
Yeah.
And then you can't blame people for saying, I think of God as an old man.
Hmm.
Well, so of course you do. He's on top of a Sistine Chapel as an old man.
It is always best to leave something up to the imagination.
Yeah.
But I think in the book, it goes a bit further. It's not just the spider. You have things flickering behind it. Yeah.
I read the book.
Then there's the deadlights, which is like some sort of non-Euclidean mindscape of the creature, which has you go through bars and you become skeletal and things. It's very strange, but and they do imply that it doesn't really have a shape. It just changes to your worst nightmares and things. It's just it locks on the spider, because you know, if it's the old, you know, Lovecraft thing, if you saw what its true form was, you'd go screamingly insane.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't have enough imagination to come up with something really good. So,
well, I always like when someone goes, "This is worse than you could ever imagine," and then you start imagining something, and you just want to go, "Shut up, brain! What did you just hear? You clearly can't imagine it, so stop it." Maybe it's like, "Shut up, brain!"
But if they say that it's worse than you could ever imagine, and then they show you a spider, then you're like, "Well, that's less than I can imagine."
Well, here's what I would think. Whenever they say that kind of thing, right? It's worse than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
So here comes the thing walking down the street that's worse than I could ever imagine. If I saw something that was worse than I could ever imagine, I wouldn't be able to conceive of it. It would just be, that's that thing. I got no idea. That's worse than I could really understand.
Yeah.
Ah, well, it's not as bad as this fucking spider over here that's also a clown in the sewer. That's way worse than this thing I don't really understand. What is that? Is that a hedgehog, or is it with a light bright for a face? I don't understand it at all.
That'd be good, a light bright for a face. That is scary.
It just keeps changing the light bright image on its face.
It's not really a clear image.
Yeah.
It's another clown.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a glowing clown.
I think we've come to the winning end then.
We've come to the winning end?
I think so, yeah. Okay. That's not going to get much better than that.
All right. We peaked, everybody.
Gavin, is there anything? Now, are we the final podcast?
Yes, I think I've done the gamut of all the Canadian podcasts.
All right.
This time.
So is there anything that you have not said on any of the other podcasts that you want to say on this one? Something you felt about Canada, advice perhaps that we should do to fix up our city to make it better? Anything at all?
Well, if Colton Haynes is listening, I can think of a few things that would make my visit a lot better, but... no, I think you've got it pretty much covered, except there's not enough things that are venomous, so you should always import, you could always import a few things from Australia.
Okay.
It's just not the same without something trying to kill you.
Have you seen the internet message boards? Boy, oh boy. Think we got them there, huh, guys?
They're pretty venomous.
Oh, I'm telling you. Okay, more things that can kill you, yep. Sure. Kay. I mean, we are, again, a grizzly bear is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I got nothing against your crocodiles, but a grizzly bear... Pretty good.
Pretty good. Grizzly bear and moose are pretty dangerous.
Yeah, but...
They're unpredictable danger. And beavers. Scary.
Anyway, I think,
yeah, I could have told you that.
Do we have hippopotamus here?
No.
Well, okay. Yeah. Those things are really bad. Polar bears?
Yep. Yeah,
pretty
polar
bad.
Bears. Polar bears are pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't want to spoil, but has anyone here seen Snowpiercer?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I won't say the whole film, but I just say at the end of the film... It's like a hopeful scene of people in the snow, and they look off in the distance, and there's a polar bear looking at them, and you're like, that's not so hopeful.
Yeah, it's basically...
That's not a hopeful ending.
It would be the equivalent of this, of just like, you know, you're going through this whole tragic thing, and then everyone ends up like safe in the ocean, and then a friendly shark comes by and goes, hey, sup? And everyone's like, you know, it's going to be all right.
Everyone's swimming, they're like, oh, finally, we can start a civilization here in the water. And then you just see like a couple of shark fins swimming around.
And everyone's cool with it. And you're like, good.
Yeah.
You guys are ignorant city slickers.
It was a bit too good to be true. Once again, it reminded me a bit like of the film and the book of The Road, where it's like, oh, you found the only non-cannibal family in the entire country. Congratulations. It's a dream. Well, the polar bear wasn't actually threatening anybody, but it was a polar bear. So, yeah.
Well, the nice thing is, if you see a polar, oh yeah, we are really getting the ending of Snowpiercer. But but there's a lot of stuff in Snowpiercer. See it anyway.
Yeah.
The polar bear clearly is eating something because it's a healthy polar bear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's other stuff too, right? Yeah. That you can eat.
There's other humans that have been able to survive.
That's right. Yeah, there's
long
train,
enough to
another
be
another crash plane. There's a submarine. Yeah. There's like all these other methods
all those
of
people
escape.
People lost that were eaten by polar bears.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Vancouver Sky Train, the one that Jason was on.
Yeah.
And as I always have to mention, the Hulk as well. Trial of the Incredible Hulk. Yeah. Also
on the Sky Train.
On the Sky Train.
Yeah.
There we are.
Also
there.
New York.
Right, what's that?
The Sky Train for the Hulk was New York, wasn't it?
That could very well be because, Matt Murdock's office was nearby.
Yeah.
So, yep, Matt Murdock works out of Hell's Kitchen. Correct you are.
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen, the famous Hell's Kitchen with a mountain side behind it.
Yeah. By the way, real quick thing here, on the Netflix, if you've seen the costume for the new Daredevil in the Netflix thing,
no.
Looks a lot like the version from the trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Huh. Oh, really?
Yeah, not a million miles different.
Because they used that costume.
Mm.
I'm
it's
astonished
cheaper.
That they're rebooting that at all, to tell the truth.
Well, it's a superhero who is a lawyer. I could see why they would do that, because, you know, people like lawyer things.
The whole superpower that he's got is dumb. It's like, he's a blind man, but he can see. It's like, isn't that just like a person?
But he can do gymnastics.
Yeah.
You're missing the gymnastics part of
but,
it.
But yeah, the whole, you know, he's a blind man with the superpower of sight.
And he's got a girlfriend that keeps running into swords.
Yeah.
But she's really, really great, except unless she has to fight somebody, in which case she'll die.
He's got the superpower of sight and litigation. Those are two pretty good superpowers to have.
Yeah.
I only
got
have one of
sonar
them.
Sonar powers, everybody.
I only
he
have
can't
one of them.
See. He can't read an iPad.
Why isn't he called the Submariner if he has
or
sonar
the,
powers?
Or the Bat.
The Bat. Sure.
Yeah, I wonder why he's
oh,
not
wait.
Called Batman.
No, he can't
yeah,
be called Batman.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, that is a good point.
He should have been called the Submariner because he's like a submarine, or Batman because he's like a bat.
I guess the only other thing he could be called is like the Mole or the Oil Bird, and that doesn't really come off.
The Oil Bird?
Yeah.
I like the Oil Bird.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually.
Because well, they use sonar as well. But then he
really? That's what he should do all the time. Like, he should always come up and just go like, yeah, I'm the Oil Bird. And everyone's like, huh? Because they use sonar as well. Anyway, let's just get to fighting you.
Then someone says, and the Oily Bird gets the worm.
We could have ended on a light bright. God damn it. If only we could edit these damn things. Well, Gavin, thank you so much for coming on our show.
No problem.
I'm going to do a plug right now for a thing I got coming up. Mm-hmm. We're bringing back Write Club, which is where people dress up as their favorite author, and then we recreate scenes in that author style to see who is the greatest author of all time. Last time, David Dedrick was there, yep. dressed as...
Jane Austen.
That's right. He may come back this time.
I will be back.
He may be dressed as someone. Even if you want to just see Dave cosplaying, it's worth your while. That's at Little Mountain Theater in Vancouver, and that is on November 22nd.
That's true.
So please come there. And then if you stick around for the show, I believe after that, I think it's the same night, there's Weird Al karaoke, people singing songs Weird Al style.
Okay.
Parody, making their own parody songs. I'm going to be singing a song.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
You're not going to tell us which one?
No.
Tell us after.
Maybe.
Tell us after.
We will see.
Well, you can tell us after.
It could be.
No, I'm not going to guess.
No, you wouldn't guess.
I'm not going to guess.
You would be incorrect if you did. Okay. Sorry, again, I have to see us fight, Gavin.
Just one last thing then.
Yep.
We've got everything together. We're going to be mailing out the prize packages to people who send us questions. We're going to send out the t-shirt prize as well, because before I sent it out, I wanted to make sure that the winner of the t-shirt also got the prize package as well with his stuff.
Right.
So all that stuff's going to be leaving tomorrow or Monday. I can't speak
with
to my organization.
With the exception of the one that we're just going to give directly to Gavin.
Yes. We're not going to mail it to you, Gavin, in Australia. Oh, that would be weird.
Yes, it would.
But so that's going to be going out. And then if you haven't sent us your name, please do.
Then you're going to get nothing.
We're still...
Or not just your name, your address.
Yes, your name and your address. Obviously, I have your name. If you want
and
to send
we will
me
not
your...
send you stuff in the mail, promo, like weird stuff afterwards. We're not putting you on a mailing list or anything.
Yeah. Oh, we're not?
No.
Scratch that off.
Okay.
That was a dumb idea.
By the way, you'll be getting some stuff. By the way, if there's some stuff we're sending you that maybe is old stuff from us, and you see, say, addresses in there, those addresses are not valid anymore. So don't use those addresses. If there's something that we send you that's got an address on inside,
don't.
That's invalid.
It's invalid. Well, Gavin, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate you coming all the way from Australia only to come on Sneaky Dragon.
Yes, yes.
So thank you very much. Ian, thanks for coming on the show today as well.
Sure. Well, I'm off to Perth. I really only have to be there in 2016, but I'm getting an early start.
Good for
you.
You might actually find something interesting if you've got that.
It's apparently the most interesting town on Earth, is what I hear.
Yeah, I've heard the mayor is a spider.
And everyone else out there?
Spider-Man.
I hope you got the point.